Ask the Podcast Coach for March 22nd, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, yeah. Get up and dance. Shake your butt. You know you want to. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you have myself, Dave Jackson, from the School of Podcasting.com. And right over there is the one, the only, Jim Cullison from the AverageGuy.tv. And we talk a little podcasting every Saturday morning here. You can find us at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And it's kind of cool. We have a bunch of regulars that show up. We all kind of chit chat about podcasting, what's going on, what we can do better. And you can call in. That's so funny. I always have everything set up, and then there's always that one last thing that I'm like, oh, I have the number for the phone number we're going to be using in the future. I don't have the one. Oh, is this going to cause that weird, we're going to get that weird double effect again. This is going to be fun. You ready?
Oh boy. Sounds yeah, good.
Cause all I need is the phone number. I'm going to log in long enough. There we go. 440-253-9922. Let me get out of that.
There it is.
I love that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it's like I just see, you think you have every, all the dots are crossed.
That's our max headroom a part of the show. Welcome back, 1980s.
Yes. So, Jim, how you doing?
Doing good, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Back in the AverageGuy.tv studios from our work. My spring and fall internship with high schoolers is done for the year. Thank goodness. It's nice to be home and sleep in on a Saturday, and then, of course, be up at 9:30 Central for Ask the Podcast Coach.
There you go. And we should say, did I say the phone number?
440-253-9922. I got to memorize that thing.
Yeah.
So I can help you out with it.
There you go. I threw it in the chat room. Beautiful. So in the whole thing is, if you have a question on anything about podcasting, you can call it on in, and we will talk about it. And that whole nine yards.
Don't call in to listen.
That was
that's not what the call-in number is for.
I actually went back and edited out some of that from last week's show.
That was funny.
And it was like, and I made sure that the live player is now on the actual website. And although the other
fun. Yeah, I checked that this morning too.
So I was like, okay.
That was great.
Yeah. I was like, all right. Shades of Howard Stern, people.
Well, it's, you know, we always say, I think you say at least once a show, you know, the joy of live podcasting. This is a little different. I mean, everything I do is live, and they're not like what you and I do. I mean, we have a good time with the format, and we're always trying different things. You know, with my live podcasts, I have those things buttoned down. So it's almost the same every time. I'm using the same equipment. I'm not changing things around. I'm, you know, it just works for me. And so for me live, this is not what we do on Saturday mornings is not like what I do when I do my live show. It's a little bit different. So we have a good time here. I'm not saying I don't have a good time on my other shows, but you and I have a really good time doing this, and we're trying different stuff all the time. So that's why, if you're afraid to live podcast, don't be. It just adds another element. And the other thing you can do, turn on the live stream and forget it's there.
Yeah.
And just do your show, right? I mean, you can always edit it out. While I send feeds to like Spreaker, and well, I don't use really Mixlr for that option, but I send a live show to YouTube and to Spreaker, and I let those sit out there until I've produced my regular show. And then I pull them down. You and I were just talking about that in pre-show, and that's a method. Yeah, it's in two places, but on YouTube, I lock it to be private or unlisted either way. So the raw copy is always stored by YouTube. I don't have to worry about downloading a copy and keeping it on my storage local, although some guys get crazy about that stuff, and if you want it local, that's great.
Right.
But I let YouTube store stuff for me. So I have a raw copy on YouTube and a raw copy on Stitcher. I just turn those private when I'm done, so only I can see them. And then I produce the full version and I put that out. And that way I can keep track of the stats. Like, Dave, on Thursday night, I turned Spreaker on. I've been testing it a little bit. I turn it on. I don't really promote it very much, but I turn it on. I have 15 listens on Spreaker to that live show that I did. It just the raw content got 15 listens. Again, I'm not trying. And if you're a struggling podcaster, or you're trying to get the word out, or you're trying to increase your numbers, not, you know, again, be where your audience is. So not a bad way, at least from my standpoint, a bad way to promote yourself and have that live content until you put your produced stuff out.
Yeah, that's it. Because I know the version that was live last week was definitely different than the version that was finished.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad deal. One of the things I do with my live versions is we start them about 5 minutes before the live show. And I don't do a lot of editing on my live show. So once I start my introduction, you know, this is the Average Guy Network. And you found, right? That's kind of the way I start all my shows. Before that, I'll always say, the very first thing I'll say when I go live is say, hey, welcome to, put in the podcast name here. You found the raw recorded version of this, which just means we're 5 minutes before the show. If you don't want to listen to our pre-show banter, just fast forward 5 minutes on the audio. We are producing this and it'll be available at, you know, put your website in, theaverageguy.tv. And if you want to see the fully produced show, you can head over there. And then the other thing I do with that, Dave, is I get an opportunity to put all those links. You know, we talked about this before where you put all your links and all your promotional stuff maybe at the end or wherever you put it.
Right.
I can talk about it in the first 5 minutes because it's pre-show.
Right.
Right. And so I can get all that stuff out of the way. And then I don't feel like I have to self-promote myself so much when I'm on the show. You know, I can get right to the show. So those are just some tips and tricks that I use for my live stuff. I mean, I've been doing live for 4 years. I do 2 or 3 live podcasts a week now. And that's just a formula that's worked really well for me.
There you go. Awesome. Well, I have a question for everybody. Did you see that from Mike?
Yes.
He says, Mike Howard in the chat room is saying, so you're saying I shouldn't call in to listen? No, you should not.
That was driving him crazy last week. He was like, do they realize it's a live show and they're listening on the call-in line? Yeah. So it's
that was fun. Here's the question of the day. And it's actually one of the most important questions you can kind of ask yourself when you get into podcasting. And that is, why do you want to start a podcast? And the interesting thing I say about this is right now at the School of Podcasting, I have a little survey going on. I have a thing in the bottom right-hand corner. If you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, you'll see it where if you fill out a survey, the more questions you fill in, the bigger a discount you get. You end up with a coupon when you get to the end. So it's my way of kind of gaining information about my potential customers as well as kind of finding out what they're looking for. And so I'm not going to give the answer. I'm going to be a teasing little guy here. And see what people say, but I am floored at what the number one reason why people are starting a podcast, because it's not what I, well, it is kind of what I expected, but it's interesting because when I started podcasting, I just took a newsletter that I had, and I just wanted to connect with my audience better, and I had originally gone from a newsletter, and I wish I could remember the name of this little flash thing that I would put on my website, and it would put a little streaming flash player. And so that was before podcasting. I had audio, and I'd already seen where audio made a better connection. So I was like, oh, well, this is going to be cool, and it's going to be automated and blah, blah, blah. So I just was trying to connect with my audience. That was back with the old musicians, now the Marketing Musician podcast is where I started. So, Jim, any insights into why you got into podcasting?
Yeah, I got into podcasting through another show. So I got invited to, I'd listened to podcasts. I'd first seen a podcast done in 2003. So if we go all the way back to that, I was at a conference. I think I was at a BI or Business Intelligence Conference. And I can't even remember where or when. But I saw this guy with these two microphones and this really clunky equipment. And they were, you know, they were interviewing. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting, you know, and I've always been kind of a radio guy. I love the concept of radio. I think in my next life, I'm going to be a DJ for sure. But it was one of those things. I'm like, this is cool. Well, you know, fast forward a couple years and the advent of iTunes and being able to get podcasts. And I jumped on that right away. It was great to love to listen to that kind of stuff. And I started listening to a guy, Dave McCabe, at homeservershow.com. And he was about, well, I caught him at the very beginning of his shows. I caught him about 10 and I went back and listened to all. I was on vacation, and so as I was driving back from vacation, I listened to his first 10 episodes all at the same time, just one after the other, boom, 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 boom. Mm. So when I got home, I said, man, I need to call this guy. And so I sent him an email and said, hey, I'd love to be a guest on your show. And it took about 3 or 4 months, but he invited me on, and I was hooked at that point. And so I joined him around show 40 for his, and we were up to 250-something. But I love to communicate. I love this medium, this form. I love the fact that you and I are connected. We're not anywhere near each other, and yet we're able to connect this way. I love the fact that we got a chat room. So I love to communicate, and it was just a great way to be able to do all this kind of cool stuff. Dave, the other thing I've learned about myself through this is I love to be a guy that's on the edge of all this stuff. And so I'm a little right now, because podcasting has gotten so popular, I'm a little like, you know, it's not – we were edgy, you know, when we were doing this 3, 4, 5 years ago.
That's me.
People would be like, I loved it when people said, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
I mean, that I was digging that. I'm like, yes, I'm doing something nobody else is doing. Now that everybody's doing it, I'm kind of like, you got to find something. You got to find a different way to do it. But I loved it because I love to communicate.
Very cool. We got some answers in the chat room. Mike Howard says, for me, there are several reasons. One, I love the topic. Two, I want to help others. That seems to be a theme. I think a lot of podcasters want to help people. Common. And then I love the technical side of it. Yeah, that was kind of me. It was creative. It was geeky. And it was helpful.
And make some friends. You know, Mike's a good friend of mine. There's no secret there. And Mike and I have bounced a lot of ideas off each other. And we spent a lot of time, you know, Saturday, Sunday nights, all nights during the week, talking about podcasting together. So if you're a struggling or a new podcaster, I always say find a friend in podcasting and challenge them and bounce ideas off of them. And, you know, it's like having a friend in the business, so to speak, who's going along with it with you. I mean, Chatwing, what we moved to for the chat window, that Mike, I started with that. Mike took it. Mike's done some things that I've taken from him. I think to rub salt in a wound here, but I think my Amazon relationship is better because Mike has challenged me. We challenge each other almost weekly. We send each other what we're making on Amazon as a challenge, you know, and that's just a great reminder, like, oh, I should probably put a link out there. Or
well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me run out to the School of Podcasting because I signed back up. I was like, you know what? Until they say no, I'm going to see what happens. So I didn't lie. I said my website is Logical Weight Loss Podcast. I said my address is my office address. And when it came to the fun one, which was, of course, what's your tax ID number? I'm like, you know what? We're just going to go straight up. So I threw in my social security number. We'll see what gets flagged. And at first I was all happy because I was like, hey, here's your link. Here's your code. And I'm like, wow, that was easy. Cool. Wee. And then I went and looked at my email and it's like, thank you for, you haven't been approved yet. Cause I went through and started making my A store. And I'm like, I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to jump too deep into this because I want to see if it's going to stick, but it didn't at least flag me. I thought it would just flag me as soon as I put in my social security number to be like, sorry, what are you doing? Loser. You know,
and, shock your seat.
And so we'll see. Cause I did get an email. It's like, thank you for blah, blah, blah. As we review your account. And I'm like, dun, dun, dun. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Well, you know, Dave, is there a way if folks want to tell us how or why they started podcasting, they can call in, right?
Yeah.
Call that number.
Yeah.
What would they call?
They would 440-253-9922. And, but I added something cause I, you know, when I sign up for Amazon, it's like, here are the terms of agreement. Then I'm like, all right, I'm actually going to read these and I see why I got banned. And I went, oh, cause I've been telling people pretty link, pretty link, pretty link. And let me find it because I just put an update on my website.
Well, it was 2G, right, that I think got what we talked about, what got me, which is you can't do the – we were doing Amazon. It's a subdomain, amazon.theaverageguy.tv. That is absolutely
– right. Well, check out this sentence. In addition, you must not use a link shortening service in a manner that makes it unclear that you are linking to an Amazon site.
And no, I think if you're like mine –
right.
It, you know, my domain / Amazon. I think that's okay. Cause it's shortening it. There's no question I'm going to Amazon, right? That's what they're saying.
Yeah, see, this is what drives me nuts. Cause I'm
you
like
can't
going
bury it inside a URL shortener to fool people to go to Amazon. That's what they don't want.
Well,
they don't
want
people fooled.
Like I used to go to schoolofpodcasting.com/2100 to go to the ATR 2100. And I'm like, okay, that's a shortener. Is that out of bounds?
I don't think so in that case. I think if you take your direct Amazon link, shorten it to Amazon,
right.
I think spirit of the law, I think they'd be okay with that. Lots of people do it and nobody's gotten shut down. So yeah. at this point, well, at least that we haven't heard of. I think, though, if you went to, your domain.com/, you know, put in whatever right. attracts people there, and it redirects automatically to Amazon, then I think they have a problem. You know, what they're really trying to do, this, the spirit of the law here, the mm-hmm. letter of the law, is they're trying to avoid people being frauded into going to Amazon, not knowing they're going to Amazon. They don't want their affiliates to do these gray area marketing campaigns that they're tricking people. They want everyone to be very clear when you're clicking on this. This is why they like their banners, because then people are absolutely right. positively in the know. They don't want to handle complaints saying, hey, I was at this one of your affiliate links or one of your affiliates, and they tricked me into going to the Amazon site. That's what they don't want. So right. I think as long as you're now, so that being said, Amazon.theaverageguy.tv, I don't know why a subdomain is such a problem, but it's obviously they've said no to that. And I've taken that down. That was a lesson learned.
Yeah. So I'll keep you posted. And I thought, well, I told my wife, I said, until they say no, I said, you know, because people have asked, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you use your wife's social security number? And because I keep having people going, I really wish you had an Amazon affiliate still. And I'm like, all right, well, that's, you know, all they yeah. can say is no. And so there's nothing wrong with that to see what happens. So Eric in the chat room, we're talking today. Why did you start podcasting? And he says, wanted to expand our reach with our message is why we started with our podcast. Plus, we hope to be as cool as you too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let's see, what else did he say here? It moved. There we go. Something fun for my wife and I to do. It is fun. I'm starting to hear more where people are, yeah. you know, it's like a family thing.
That's a great thing to do with the family, I would think. I don't do that. I don't do it very well. I did have Sarah on. We did a couples podcast one time where we had one of my hosts and his wife and my wife. The four of us did this couples podcast around technology, and we talked about, you know, technology in the kitchen, I think, is what we, or, you know, one of those kinds of things where, you know, what do we bring? What are the gals using in their world? And so it's, that was fun to do it that way. And I think, you know, Dave, you and I have got a lot in common. And sometimes I think, but one of those things is we struggle with those. We podcast a lot and we should probably spend more time with our wives.
Yes.
And so, so you're always hoping like, oh man, if I could just get her on a podcast, that would be, you know, and you've done better at that than I.
Well, that was the thing that was funny is I had her start coming on my podcast review show, and as painful as it was, cause it's fun. Cause she does not like podcasts in most yeah. cases, and she doesn't have a problem saying, wow, this is awful. And when I we're getting ready to kind of relaunch that show with Eric K. Johnson, who's the podcasttalentcoach.com.
Yeah, excited for that, by the way. Good to hear Eric on there.
Yeah,
that'll be great.
And so there was a weird thing where she's like, but that's our time. I'm like, really? That's our time? Really? I thought it was just, you know, so...
You got the bromance in there.
Yeah. So when I had to explain to her that we're actually have more time because we're now going to listen to the podcast separately and then get together with Eric to talk about that, I'm like, we're still going to have the same amount of time. In fact, we're going to have more. And then she was like, oh, okay, whatever. Okay, yeah. So that was kind of different. But here's another one. Dave in the chat room. And guys, if you want to throw in your URL, I'll be more than happy to promote your website. I want to help other contractors realize that there are multiple ways to keep business coming in to their lead funnel without spending a fortune on unproductive marketing. Yeah. The joy of unproductive marketing.
It's yeah. Well, and you know, I was in one of the podcasters communities on Google Plus this morning, just kind of reading up. I like to see what the vibe is out there. And, you know, there is this, there was a thread out there about, you know, hey, I'm only reaching 182 people.
Wow.
And, you know, one of those kinds of things. And it's while it's good for marketing, it can also, you know, it won't just happen. You've got to do some work to get the message out and to get things rolling and to create groups. You do got to work at it. And so, and that was kind of the advice that was given in the Google Plus group is, you know, you got to work hard to get the word out. I think, you know, one of the key things we learned. So this week at Gallup, we did a big podcast. We did a on Friday about 700, I think, though the numbers are still kind of coming in, but 700 or 800 live with a couple hundred in the chat room. It's, I'll have to tell you, Dave, when you look at your Google Plus, you know, when we're on Hangouts right now, and not for me, but for you, in the lower right hand corner, it tells you how many people are watching, right? You can see that on the Hangout.
Well,
we're not
live.
Air,
yeah,
right.
This is
okay. That's right. So if you're on air, you can see how many people are on there. Now, I suspect that number is lower than it actually is. I don't know if Google's getting that right or not. But that being said, when I looked over there at one point and it said 550, I thought, wow, that's a lot of people live.
That's right? a lot of people.
That is crazy.
That's more than many churches in America right now.
I know. And it's just awesome. But that happened only because we did a 2.5 million mailing this week out to out to our Strengths. Anybody who's bought Strengths Code in the last 3 years got an email from us. Well, to me, a couple things that benefited us this week as I track all our social stuff at Gallup for those types of campaigns and such. And we have a Facebook group. We added 550 to the Facebook group this week just from that mailing. We added another couple hundred to the @StrengthsFinder Twitter account when we did that. And I watched a couple other groups related to that same topic grow with us. And I thought, you know what, while we talk about email being dead, it still is a medium of, and I've heard you talk about this on your show, of collecting kind of that email marketing or that, you know, the subscription lists that people get from their site. I think those can still be a terribly effective way of marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the numbers, the bigger the numbers, you know, 2.5 million and I got 500 to Facebook, that's a ridiculously low percentage. It's when you think about it as a Facebook group, you think, man, 500 in a week, that's awesome, right? I mean, who gets that many people to join their Facebook group in a week?
Right.
But compared to 2.5 million, it's a very, very small number. So it's a numbers game there. But
yeah,
it does emphasize the importance, especially in this area of marketing, that it's great if you can collect a contact point. One of my strategies is to try and take our customers and move them into our Facebook groups, because I think Facebook's even stickier than email is, because you get these ridiculously low rates in email. I think you get a better chance of getting them in Facebook. And so all my podcast stuff have Facebook groups. I work with Mike with JPEG to Raw. He's got a thriving Facebook group. And it's a great way to interact with your audience. And I think it makes them a little more sticky. So if you're not doing email marketing or if you're not collecting email addresses in a way, that's one thing to start thinking about. And you got to give them something for that email address, right? You can't just say, hey, send me your email address.
Right.
You know, you need to have value associated with that. But
yeah, I was surprised that instead of saying sign up for my newsletter, I use AWeber. And I know a lot of people use MailChimp. I've been playing with MailChimp. And because it's free and up to however many emails you send out. And I've just been telling people, if you'd like a copy of the show notes emailed to you on a regular basis, it doesn't sound quite as,
a good way.
Internet marketing.
No, that's a good way. That's a good way. I mean, it's really you're just trying to find those ways to stay in contact with your audience.
That's
and
it.
Because we're creatures of habit, but we forget things quickly too. And so, you think about the average podcast listener, they may listen to the show one or two times and then for whatever reason they stop, and you need a gentle reminder to just, you know, if to just kind of keep them coming back and keep them listening. We at Gallup work our lists hard and you know, we continue to grow. I have some goals, some pretty aggressive goals by the end of the year to grow all those groups to what I'm calling my 10K goals. So 10,000 in the Facebook group, 10,000 Twitter followers to the @StrengthsFinder, 10,000 live in a show. Now that's the most aggressive one that I have right now.
That'd be a little fun to manage.
10,000 live would be great. So it's just been one of those things that I'm working on to work with. You know, Ryan makes a point. I think it was Ryan. Nick. Nick says, when I host my show on Google Plus Hangouts, I can see in my chat wing 30 or 40 people, but the Hangouts say only 15 are watching. Okay, so I use both chat wing and Google Plus Hangouts as well. And yes, Nick, there are weird things going on with the numbers. This is like number of downloads. I am not sure how they're actually, you know, you think on the Google Plus Hangouts, if they're connected and it's on, they're counting it. I don't know. It's just a number. It's for me, it's a number that I track just to set a high water mark, right? So yesterday we set a high water mark of about, let's just say 600 live on that show. So were there 600 people there, or were there more, or were there less? I don't care. That's just the bar now. So for the next time I'm doing it, I know if I go over that. But Chatwing does some weird things. Like, you can be, you can view the Chatwing window but not be logged in, and I think that's that number that's in the bottom right-hand corner of Chatwing. And then Mike Howard showed me how you can turn on, there's a feature you can turn on in Chatwing, and you can see who's actually logged into the chat as well. And that number is always smaller than the number down below of viewers. That's why I think that one is viewers. So it's, again, you can drive yourself absolutely crazy doing these numbers. Now, even, you know, we talk about download numbers, then we start talking live numbers. That's like a whole different hit to fall into.
More stats to obsess over.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. But if you want to see, if you want to see my show, what we were talking about, what we did on Friday, just go to coaching.gallup.com. And it should still be in replay this week. It won't go down. But on that site, we have a live page. I've got a live page with Chatwing right below it. And then, interestingly enough, at the bottom of that, I have this big, in big bold letters, it says issues, ? And I've got some things for them to do, because, like, Chatwing doesn't work well in IE 10. So they need to go directly to the Chatwing page. So
interesting.
If you're going to do a live, you got to have some troubleshooting stuff for the audience, that because they will ping the crap out of you in the chat room, say, I can't get in, I can't see it, this isn't working.
And the next thing you know, they're calling in to listen.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So,
all right.
A few things about that.
Well, Steve Stewart from MoneyPlanSOS.com has joined us. Steve, the question of the day is why did you start podcasting? And if you want to call in, the phone number, if you're just joining us, this is one of the things you have to do when you're live. If you just joined us, yes, our phone number is, you know, you can call it in. It's 440-253-9922. That number again, 440-253-9922. Today we are answering the question, why did you start podcasting? Because in my opinion, that's the most important question. You got to figure it out. And
well, don't you think, Dave? I mean, I heard, where was I? Maybe it was something I read in the Google Plus. Somebody said, you know, the podcast market is saturated. And that's the first time I've heard that term being used.
Hmm.
And you and I have been talking about, it's gotten real popular to podcast, especially among the geeks. Do you think with the saturation point, let me say my opinion and then you can chime in on it. I think we are to the point, and I've said this before, where it's getting so popular, people are just jumping in because they want to be on the bandwagon, but they don't have any idea what they want to do. Right? They're like, well, I bought all this equipment, now I'm ready to podcast. What should I podcast about?
Yeah.
Probably not the question you want to ask last, you know? Yeah. Probably the question you want to ask first, which is, I have something to say, and I have a lot of it to say. I'm going to start a podcast around this topic.
Yeah, I literally know a guy that went out, spent about $1,000 on all Heil stuff, bought a really nice video camera, soundproofed his room, had all the little coney things sticking on the walls and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, awesome. What would you like to talk about? And he's like, yeah, I'm still working on that. And I was like, really? You spent $1,000 and you haven't figured out what you're going to talk about? Well, the cool thing is, this is a new thing for Uber Conference. I can see that it's Steve Stewart calling in.
Oh, very nice.
I see his smiling face. So, Steve, welcome to the show. You can find Steve over at MoneyPlanSOS.com. And welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks, guys. This is a treat.
Yeah, so today we're talking, why did you start podcasting? So, why did you start podcasting?
Oh, gee, I get a platform to brag about myself again, huh?
There you go, man.
I guess the reason really for me was more of a, I guess it's more of a mission, to try and get the word out about a subject I'm really passionate about, which is getting out of debt. And there's a lot of people out there hurting. So, I had started coaching people through that back in 2007, but didn't start a podcast until 2010. But I had thought about it for a couple of years, and I just saw the medium as being really awesome, and I knew that getting into it that early, there wasn't a whole lot of people doing it. So I thought, well, this is one way I can get my name out above, you know, the others who were already doing it and already had, you know, thousands of dollars behind them established names and stuff like that. So I guess the reason I started was more of a mission to get the word out that, hey, you know, you can be debt free and here's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Steve, let me ask you a question. So you play in a space where Dave Ramsey kind of owns the market on that, right? You got a big name guy in your space. Does that discourage you at all in your podcasting? Because, you know, I know a lot of smaller or medium sized podcasters, you know, they're afraid that, you know, some big name's going to jump in their space and ruin it all. Yeah, you keep going. How have you handled that?
Well, that's a good thing you said that, because Dave Ramsey is totally who I'm emulating. I'm not trying to imitate him. He's on, you know, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. How does a one-day-a-week podcast compete with that? But then I look at the others who are in the space and the people who are listening to, I don't want to name anybody else who's in the personal finance area, but they're giving this advice that I don't agree with. And I think that the more people who are out there talking anti-debt like I am, the more the merrier, because then we're going to contradict those who are out there promoting, you know, build your credit and take out the lowest interest rate. You know, I'm trying to get on the same side as Dave Ramsey, and the more voices, I think that the more people who are going to find out, you know, that our message is just to get out of debt. I don't want to talk too much about, you know, my niche here, but I guess you got to kind of have that in the background to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point that with podcasters, sometimes we get discouraged because there is a big name, you know, somebody jumps in and starts dominating and you think, you know, the question is, well, should I stop? They're already reaching way more people than I am. Certainly that hasn't discouraged you.
No, there's not enough people talking about what we're talking about, which is get out of debt completely. Yeah. Everybody's talking about how to manage your debt. So the more voices, the better.
And the
I'm going to say it in a different way than somebody else, too. I mean, I think I'm even more anti-FICO score than Dave Ramsey is. So that might just be the thing that I'm all about that draws more of these weirdos to the idea that, you know, hey, you can live without a FICO score.
Well, the other thing that's cool, and this is nothing against Dave Ramsey. I love Dave Ramsey and the what's that thing called? The lottery's just a stupid tax. But the thing I like about Steve, it's what Steve brings to the table. Steve's not, as far as I know, a multi-billionaire like Dave Ramsey is. So he's a little more of like, he's got the more of a just like me kind of thing going on than Dave Ramsey does. So when Steve, you know, I'm pretty sure Steve could tell me how much a gallon of milk cost. I'm not sure Dave Ramsey could at this point. Maybe not. But so that's the thing I love about it. But now I did have a question for you, Steve. What has changed since you first started the podcast? Because this is one of the things I saw in a Google community where there was a guy who wants to get everything just perfect. Oh, he was actually talking about compressors. And I was like, dude, just start the podcast. So you've been doing this for what, a couple years now?
Yeah, November 2010. So about 3.5 years.
Okay. So what has changed since you started?
When I started, I had a plan of doing every third podcast was going to be what I called a real-life case study. And what I did was I, with the permission of a client of mine, I would take their information, share that with another financial coach, and we would discuss back and forth, you know what this person could do to, you know, get out of debt. It didn't take long to realize that a lot of people, even back, especially back then, didn't have a clue of what I was talking about doing. They didn't understand what a podcast was. They didn't understand what I was trying to do. So it made it really difficult to schedule that. So I just gave up on that piece of it. So that's definitely went away. You know, I think it was a great idea. The format has changed. I know you talked a lot about that in episode 400. By the way, congratulations. That was awesome, dude.
Thank you.
And so the format's changed a bit. I think my message has become more, we could say it's become more focused. And there was one more thing I was thinking about when you were asking me a question. I've already forgotten what that was.
Welcome to live. Woo-hoo!
I'm not good at live, I guess. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. For some reason, I remember right around episode 29 is when I found my tagline. You know, it's that one thing that you can say that kind of separates you from all the rest. And it's a catchy thing that everybody remembers. And that's, I help everyday Americans to pay attention, not interest.
Yes.
And that's something that I didn't have when I first started out. I had no idea what that moniker was, or that, not moniker, but that, mantra was.
Now, here's the question. Those first 28 episodes, though, were still good content. So that's my whole point, is if you had waited till you had the perfect tagline, we would have missed out on 28 episodes of really good stuff. So
no, that was all practice, Dave. It wasn't good. It was just practice.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. I definitely appreciate that. And let's see, what do we – oh, Angelus,
we had questions for you. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah.
No, I just happened to pop on, and then Dave started talking about me. So I thought, well, he wants me to call in. So
very cool.
I'll do whatever Dave says.
We were going to change the format of the show from Ask the Podcast Coach to Ask the Podcaster.
Yeah.
And we'll have people call in. We can ask you questions.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I have enough problems that you couldn't answer them in this short of a show.
Awesome, Steve. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you in August.
All right, take care.
Well, Steve brought up show 400, which was we're talking about changing formats and things like that. So I said last week on the show, episode 400 was going to be like no other show. And so I actually threw in a little radio drama in the middle of my show. Throughout my complete format went out the window. So you had kind of mentioned how, you know, sometimes people, when they get to these so-called marquee episodes or whatever you'd call it, milestones maybe, they just pat themselves on the back. Mm-hmm. And then I went and kind of patted myself on the back.
Well, you know, I listened critically. If you didn't listen to last week's show, you'll hear me talk about it. And this was a show I did with the home server show. We on show 100, we went into congratulatory bliss and looking how good we were, and we were playing clips of people had sent in saying how good we were. Right. And you know, we didn't think anything of it until we posted the episode, and then just got laid into in the comments and on the site. Mm. People are like, you know, I really called in to hear some information. You know, the first 99 episodes had great information in it. This one, you know, was not good. And, you know, a few negative feedback from it. And, you know, you can take that as you want, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
Right.
But, Dave, I listened to 400 with that frame of mind. I'm like, okay. How much is Dave going to congratulate himself to get to 400? It's a gigantic achievement, by the way. Let me officially say congratulations making it to 400. That is gigantic. One of the ones I'm on is at 250, so we're not even close to you. And that's a commitment, man. That's a lot of years of doing podcasting, and that's a lot of episodes week in and week out. I don't think most people, especially if you're a new podcaster, realize how much work it is to get all the way there and be consistent over those years. I'm sure you felt like giving up in the past and saying, you know what, what am I doing? I could be out having fun doing something else. And yet I'm in the studio on a nice day recording or editing or handling questions, whatever.
So the good birds work. Are outside.
Yeah, congratulations. No, I didn't think it was self-congratulatory at all. I think you did a nice job. I love the opening where you talked about you went back and you reminisced. And I think that was really key that you added some context to that, because you did show you're a podcast about podcasting, and you showed how your opening changed. And we just talked about that with Steve. I think it's really important that you are morphing your work. You're getting better. You're adding new things in. You're changing things out. You're morphing, right? At Home Tech, we say in news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. That's kind of our line, right? That didn't come on day one. That was like 100 maybe,
right,
for us. So I think it's important that you're morphing. And then the interview section was dynamite. That's what I came to the show for, right? That's what I listened for. So that was there. And then you broke into, and I don't, let's not do a spoiler alert, because there might be some folks who haven't listened to it.
Okay.
Yet. So let me just say, you get to about 42, 43, 44, somewhere in there. And it's pretty good. So it's entertainment. It's not podcasting stuff. It's pure Dave's talent entertainment stuff. And I snickered the whole way to work. So it's some good stuff, Dave. Nice work. Way to break out of your comfort zone. That takes some real effort. You spent a lot of time putting that piece together, and it's a little bit of theater for your mind.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. And I'm still singing the John Lee Dumas song. So
that's pretty good.
Making some cash.
So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back, listen to show 400. It's definitely got some great content in it. And then definitely stay for the end. You want to work your way all the way through. It's like something you've never heard from Dave.
It has created a problem, though. I don't know if it's a problem, but it's weird. I was thinking about this last night, And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at my monitors and I'm just sitting here and I'm like, you know, this is kind of cool. I actually have a weird situation where my entire family, it's me and the dog this weekend. And I'm like, okay, I can do whatever I want. And I was like, okay, how do I follow up? Sure. You know, if I just go back to normal, I'm like, no, okay.
No, go back to normal.
Yeah.
Don't resist the urge. It was good. Let them leave them wanting more.
Yeah. So
it was good. No, go back to the regular show.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, I couldn't do that every week if I, oh man.
Oh no, it's too much work. I mean, it was great. It was funny. I laughed, but it is one of those things. I think people are dialing in or listening in or viewing for your content, right? That's why they're coming out. I mean, if you've got an audience, they've gotten used to you. You know, live radio works so well because it's so freaking consistent,
right?
I mean, those guys, you know what you're going to get. And I think that was the success to radio. Now, it's being replaced because the technology is changing, but not because the format, I think, got stale,
right?
I mean, man, talk radio has worked for 50 years.
Yeah.
And it's still working. This
still
is
does,
what we're
yeah.
doing. We're doing talk radio, yeah. right? I mean, it's the same kind of thing. But I think consistency is key. You are pretty good at being consistent, yet adding in new things from time to time. Hey,
right.
I'm going to try this. We're going to do this segment. Even in the year I've listened to you, you've changed your format some, but just enough, just slightly, to keep it interesting.
That's the point. Well,
yeah.
we're talking today, why should you podcast? What do you think is the number reason why you shouldn't?
Well,
anybody got an answer on that one?
Number one reason why you shouldn't podcast.
Yeah. I'm getting into podcast because, and you go, oh, shouldn't do that.
Hmm. I don't know if I have a good answer for that. Mm. I have to really think through that.
See, I always tell, strictly to make money, Ryan Parker.
I disagree with Ryan on that one. I think podcasting is a good thing to get into if you want to make money.
Yeah, the John Lee Dumas effect. And
yeah.
I heard a great comment and I went, oh, it was on Podcast 101 with Jason, better known as the Angry Ginger. He was interviewing Dino from Triber. And he said, the one thing about John Lee Dumas that people don't get, he goes, because everybody's now trying to do a daily podcast and blah, blah, blah. And I went, ooh, that's a really good point. What John Lee Dumas did wasn't interviewing entrepreneurs wasn't new. People have been doing that since 2007. The daily thing, and here's the key, was new. Not a lot of people were doing daily. And to where people went, ooh, wow, this is different. And I went, you know, he might have stumbled across a really key point there. So now everybody's trying to do a daily show. And everybody's like, well, it's been done. He's doing the John Lee Dumas thing. And I was like,
well, and they're not John Lee Dumas.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. Talent is still king in a lot of this. And so,
right.
if, like you said, there's a show's never too long. It's just too boring. And let's just say some people are made for, and I'm going to sound pompous and arrogant for a second, but not everybody has what it takes to do podcasting.
Right.
And I'm not even sure I do, to be honest. I question myself every week. I'm like, am I just boring the hell out of people? I mean, should I just quit? Because I'm an idiot. I mean, I make some boneheaded mistakes. I say some boneheaded things. I get myself in some boneheaded conversations where it's all on me. It's all my fault. I'm like, ah, you idiot. You shouldn't even be out there. But John Lee Dumas is a good interviewer. And he's he's pure energy.
Yeah.
And there's something about listening to him that motivates you, right? And so it's one of those things. I think he was successful. Yes, he went daily. Yes, he might have been the first, but he's a great personality.
Right.
And so it was just one of those things that that I think a lot of things came together at the same time and he got lucky. Pick deal.
It could be. Well, from Lansing, you're on with Jim and Dave. Who are
hey,
you?
Hey, Jim and Dave. It's actually Ryan.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Ryan. I was hoping you'd call in. I want to pick a fight with you. No, just kidding.
Yeah, me too. That's why I called. Well, notice my comment was strictly for money, for making money. So if you don't have, fun doing it, if you don't have an outlook that's unique and you're just there because you're going to use it as not even a marketing tool, because I think it's okay to do it just for a marketing tool if you have those other things behind it. But it's the idea of I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to make, $1,000 a month or $5,000 a month is really what I was trying to get at.
But I do think you can start with that in mind. Now, you have to have the other things in place, right? You can't just say, I'm going to make money, and then maybe you can't communicate, and maybe you don't know any of the technology, and maybe you don't have any of the marketing skills, and maybe you don't have any people skills. And those things will be found out, right? You know, in that case. So, you know, I'm messing with you in the pick and the fight thing, but it is one of those things. I know we're anti sometimes, and it's a little bit of an opposite problem that we have. So we're all anti, I shouldn't say it this way. Let me back up a little bit. We tend to be, when podcasters start to make money, the ones that aren't tend to get a little like, you shouldn't be doing it to make money. But at the same time, Dave and I were talking earlier, we keep wondering why podcasters want to do everything on the cheap, because they're not making any money,
yeah,
you know, type deal. And so you got this problem. You got that problem with it. So I get what you're saying with that in the sense that, you know, if you're going in it just to make money, there's no guarantees. That's the way with any business, by the way, right? I mean, you can't start any business with the same idea.
Yeah.
You know, and full disclosure, you know, eventually I'd like to make some money doing this as well, or have it lead to something that makes, you know, sense for me to make money from. And so I'm not saying that anyone shouldn't make money, you know, from their podcast, whether it's John Lee Dumas or, you know, Pat Flynn or, you know, even Mike Howard, you know, as long as they understand that that's not the first thing that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point.
Now I'm fighting with Mike Howard.
That's it. The chat room's going to start duking it out here. It's going to be fun.
Well, no, but I also, you know, you have to go in with the idea of I have something to contribute.
Yep.
And it, because if you don't have that, your podcast will fall to the wayside anyway if you don't have anything to contribute. But
Ryan, don't you think, I mean, this is the thing we oftentimes hear on these coaching shows, you know, we say what should and shouldn't be. We have our opinions, but ultimately isn't the market what determines that?
I mean, right.
John Lee Dumas is successful because people are buying his stuff, right? People are listening to your podcast. People are listening to my podcast in different, you know, capacities, right? Different numbers. So oftentimes I think a lot, we get really opinionated, and Dave, this is an opinionated show. That's what we're here to do.
Right.
But really, ultimately the market determines whether you're successful or not. And then you kind of determine how successful you want to be. I mean, reaching 100 people might be wildly successful for you, and you've reached your goals and you've reached your mark. Or if it's 10,000 and you're not reaching it and the market's determining that, guess what? There's not a lot you can do about that unless you work harder or and try more things, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. So
yeah. Mike Howard says his show so far has been a money pit, to be honest. Profit from the show is the last thing on his mind. I know Mike does it out of pure hobby and pure love for podcasting, and that's a great, his success is he does it, right? Success is defined by him getting on the air on Tuesday nights and doing his JPEG to RAW.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, like when I was in high school, I took, you know, AV classes, and that was something that I really enjoyed doing. And I looked at this medium back in the day, as Dave would say, or back in the day, as Dave would say. Exactly. I just didn't have the confidence to just dive in and try it for myself until, you know, late 2011, early 2012. And so it's fun for me. It's frustrating for me, but it's fun for me as well.
Well, it's an outlet for you too, right? I mean, it really does give you another, a three-dimensional outreach to your customer and be able to get that out to them. And that feels good. I mean, listen, if it hurt, we wouldn't do it. Right? That's, humans aren't built that
exactly.
way. So at some point it feels good. It strokes an ego. It meets a need. It does something along those lines. And so we continue to do it because it has that effect on us and it's good for us. So, you know, that alone is a good reason to start podcasting, because it's a way to reach people. Mike was mentioning this earlier in chat. I think some other folks as well, you get to meet new people. I wouldn't know Dave Jackson. Ryan, I wouldn't know you if you hadn't done this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my I'm going to leave it at that and sign off for now. But enjoy the rest of the show, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Ryan. Good talking to you.
All right. Take care.
I think it was Eric that said he enjoys talking to people. It's a great way to get advice about a let's see here. I copied and pasted this, and apparently I didn't paste the whole thing. But basically, they were saying they get to talk to people that they normally wouldn't get to talk to. Even if nobody's listening, they still get to talk to these people.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I love the fact, this is the awesome part about live, right? I say something, Ryan calls in.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That is the power of this, right? I mean, that's the medium, and it's great that we can have this call-in capability where he could just dial in, jump on the show, and say, hey, you know what I really meant, or hey, I disagree with you. And by the way, a lot of people disagree with me, and that's okay. I like it. That's kind of why we do the show, is to get varying opinions.
Well, if you're new to the whole John Lee Dumas thing, if you go over to podcastersroundtable.com/22, you'll see myself and Ray Ortega and Daniel J. Lewis basically grill him, because there's a lot more than that guy than just making money. But,
well, and obviously there was some questioning about him making what he's making. And
yeah, a lot of people are.
That. I'm totally not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But he's obviously being successful in some ways because he keeps doing it.
Right.
And so whether, I mean, his mark of success, he is in it for money. This is a perfect example of he found a niche and a way to do it, and he's in it. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. We got to make a living, guys. If you're going to make it through sometimes we've lifted podcasting to the status of martyrdom, you know, oh, it's holy and righteous. And if you're not making money, and if you're poor, you know, if you're a poor starving artist, you're somehow better than everybody else. Hey, if you can make money doing it, if you can make a business out of it, and the market pays you for it, do it.
Well,
you know.
Well, here's the fun thing. So far, I've got 40 people that have filled out this survey, and there are two places you can fill this out. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com, there's a thing in the bottom right hand corner that if you fill this out, you'll actually get a coupon for the School of Podcasting. Or if you just go over to howtopodcast.com, it's at the bottom of the page for that. But yeah, right now the number one reason people are getting into podcasting, you guessed it, 26%, I want to make money. Huh. And I went, okay. Followed by, tied at 18%, I want to be seen as an expert, or it sounds fun and it's going to be a hobby. Then we go down to, I want to build a community or promote my business or product. And then last but not least, I want to promote a cause. So, I just thought that was interesting, because when it's like, as they came in, it was like, number one answer, I want to make money. And I'm like, and again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to make money. I think, like Ryan said, if that's the sole reason, I don't know what I'm going to podcast about, but I want to make, you know, $10,000 a month. It's like, then we need to back off just a second here.
And it's possible, but the market will determine that, right? Mm-hmm. It's nothing we can say you will or won't be successful. The market will determine that. Maybe you will. You know, if you get into it and it goes well, hey, more power to you. You know, but if it's not a guaranteed deal, and it's like anything else, you got to work at it and you got to do it. We all started this because we love it. And so for all the podcasters who, you know, have been around for five or more years or whatever, are really in it on a passion play. Just recently have it gotten more of a money play, and the mechanisms have got put in place to be able to actually make some cash doing it. So I think there's a little bit of changing of the guards. I think some of us old timers, Dave, are a little bit bitter. Not you and me, of course, but are a little bit bitter that some guys are making more money than us doing it. And then so when that happens, we say, hey, you shouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I see, what I'm reading out on the various forums and stuff. And so I think it's a great question. I mean, the sense that it brings out a little bit of passion. I mean, we've had some passion in the chat room today, a little passion around the conversation. I think it's a good thing to look at and say, hey, why are you doing it? And set some great goals.
Yeah.
You know, I shared my Gallup goals. My Gallup podcast goals are completely different than my home tech podcast goals, right? And then I do some nonprofit podcasting as well. That is completely different there. I have three completely different sets of expectations for each one of the podcasts. They're not all the same. And yet it's me. It's me doing the shows. And so I think you really have to look at what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, I think it's important to have a goal, because how are you going to know if you got there or not if you don't have you know, something like, okay.
Write them down, man. Write them down and post them on your screen. So or do something, right? Make it a screensaver.
I mean, for me, my Feeding My Faith podcast, I want to have 75 downloads an episode. Why? Because when I was doing sermons in my church, I had about 75 people on a really good week, like Mother's Day kind of Sunday. It was a really small church. I'm like, hey, if I can get more than that, I'm already reaching more people than I was when I was doing this in front of people. So that was an example of one where I don't need to make $8 million. And I don't need 10,000 downloads. I'm like, if I can get 100 people listen to that thing on a regular basis, I'm doing more than I was before. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to have different goals and expectations and things like
John,
that.
John Parker says, I have a degree in broadcasting, run a couple of internet stations, as well as went into music biz side instead of radio. And I've gotten bored with that. So I started my podcast last year. It's a work in progress still. So again, his reasons why he's gotten in to podcasting. Yeah, Dave, you know, this nonprofit podcast that I do, Nebraska STEM, it's a 10-minute podcast we do once a month, and I interview, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. We have a STEM problem here in the United States, but not enough kids are studying those things, and so the jobs that take those in the U.S. are, we don't have enough workers in that area, and we're going to be really short in the next decade. So we're trying to fix that at the elementary school, junior high, and high school levels. And so it's a local, it's a Omaha, in Nebraska. And I create the podcast. We don't really promote it publicly. It goes to a mailing list that of groups that are already established and then goes downstream. It's a pure communications play, right? I have no other, I am doing it, just I am hosting the media just to get the information out that we can share what's going on in the Omaha area around STEM programs and do it's a community play, right? I mean, it's just totally, that's my, I don't care. I'm not even going to track the downloads. Don't even care for the most part. It's like, hey, if I'm going to give, I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. And then you guys do with it, this organization, you guys use it as you see fit. And so I don't have any of those motivations that I would have for my own podcast.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is that, like today I was talking about a survey. If you're not sure how you're doing, ask your audience.
Yeah.
It seems kind of odd. I was thinking about that. I'm trying to come up with what I'm going to talk about at Podcast Movement. And I think that's one of them was, how to connect better with your audience. And really it boils down to when in doubt, ask them. Because sometimes they're like, well, if we do the Twitter thing, I'm like, how about you just go directly to them and go, what do you think?
Well, and be ready for what you get back.
Yeah,
you may not like what you hear. That's a tough deal when you're, some of the reasons we don't want to ask is because we don't want to hear what the hard truth is. and it's tough, right? I'm sure, Dave, you get negative. Have you gotten any negative feedback from 400 yet?
Not yet. I'm surprised because I played, there were a couple things that I was like, and I was like, well, I'm doing this in a different voice. And I wouldn't say this, but maybe this would work. And I was waiting for people to go, hey, that was kind of, you went almost naughty there. And I'm like, no, that was actually, because I played a commercial that's actually a real commercial. That's the scary thing about that.
It is a little edgy at that part.
Yeah.
No spoiler.
I was waiting for people to
go listen.
Yeah. I told my wife, I said, I'm either going to get people that go, wow, that was really, really cool. I said, but I do expect people to go, what the heck? And then at the end, I even say, I'm completely breaking format because people kept saying, we want to hear you play the guitar. And so I played the guitar at the end. I'm like, all right, we'll do that every 100 episodes. We'll just throw caution to the wind and here you go. Now, on the other hand, my schedule this week has gone through the roof. And I don't know if it's because of episode 400. I did have one person that called that said, I just listened to episode 400 and you're the guy I want to do podcasting with. And I was like, okay, please don't expect me to do that every week.
Yeah, you hit on a point that's interesting is I think as you're podcasting, you start to gather people that look like you and not physically look like you. You know what I mean? They're like-minded. They're, maybe a similar demographic, maybe, and not all. I'm not painting a big, I may be painting a broad stroke, but I know when I look at my audience, my home tech audience, I have a pretty solid grasp on my demographic and what that is. And it's a lot like me. What's really hard is like senior when your kids grow up and they start acting like you. And you go, ooh, that's me? Well, when your audience starts doing stuff like you and you're like, oh, that's me?
Yeah.
That's that realization you're like, you need to have, if you're going to go into podcasting, you have to have really good self-realization and just say, yeah, you know what? There's sometimes I get it right and there's sometimes I don't get it right. And the goal is maybe to get it right more times than you get it wrong. And then just keep moving on because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to say stupid things. I say at least one stupid thing a week just to keep me humble.
There you go. Keep it grounded. And, hey, I did. I started off episode 400 and I said, I've been doing this for 10 years, and it wasn't until later I went, I haven't been doing this. I said, I'm a couple weeks away from 10 years. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a couple weeks away from 9 years. But the thing is, my first podcast was April 4th, 2005, and I must have saw 04, and then looked at the calendar, saw 14. I'm like, wow, that's almost 10 years. So this is why you don't do math live or whatever. I'm like, okay.
Well, it just can be, you know, it can be, you can say things controversial and then, you know, people get all crazy about it. But, well, there's the music.
Yeah, that's where it's fun. You get to hear it before everybody else does. I haven't faded it in yet.
Okay. Lucky. There isn't the music.
Yeah. But, so, if you haven't checked that out yet, you can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/400. It's a bizarre little episode. But, we'll go ahead and put the dance music back on so we can do that. Want to say, Dave in the chat room had a really cool question, and we are going to talk about that. He asked about if you're just starting out. We've kind of talked about that in the past, but what are some of the steps you should take to promote your podcast? So, Dave, we'll definitely be talking about that in the future. My quick answer would be go over to Podcast 411 and look at the directories of directories. That's an easy thing you could do. Make sure you're in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all the other different places. That would be an easy thing you can do to get you going on that. But, that and then just figure out where your audience is and go make friends with them. That's always I always say that's the four steps is figure out who your audience is, go where they are, make friends with them. That's step three. And then tell them about your podcast, because if you switch step four and three and go over to where your audience is and tell them about your podcast, they're like, who are you again? But if you've made friends with them and then say, oh, by the way, I have a podcast, then you have a much better chance of hopefully turning them into a listener. So, hey, we're here every Saturday, schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And you can find this. It'll be published next week at askthepodcastcoach.com/19. Everything we talked about. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can find Jim over at theaverageguy.tv, and you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.